Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting once again from the Black Diamond Group mothership in a beautiful, nutrient-filled green field in the middle of the Mitten. Pure Michigan baby, born in the D. Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle, 5 days a week, including Saturday, which makes six. Craig, we're back.
Todd, it's another show.
It's a huge show, bro.
Bigger show than you know.
No.
Yes.
We opened with Youth Gone Wild for a reason, because we were young ones and we still are at heart, and we are just going wild today.
Speak for yourself.
Before the show, no, we are fired up. In studio today, two of my dear friends, Sandy Waldo, Chris Gearhart, they're in studio. They're coming on the show. We'll talk about that in a moment. Wait till the listeners get a load of this info.
Okay. Good stuff.
Great stuff.
Right.
Amazing stuff. And today, all weekend, what has been taking place?
The Osabo River Canoe Marathon. Should be wrapping up like in the next hour or so.
That's
in Oscoda.
All night long, all 80 teams.
Started last night at 9 o'clock, Le Mans style in Grayling, goes right through into Oscoda this morning.
Coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
We were at
really
the VIP
awesome.
Tent last night.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Cherie, everyone did a great job.
Now, I am going to tell you, I talked to Norm, and I said, Norm, who owns the radio station, I said, how do you pronounce your wife's name? He goes, Sherry. And I go, it's not Cherie. He goes, no, it's Sherry. He goes, tell Todd she pronounces it the Michigan style, not French. It's spelled Cherie, but she pronounces it Sherry.
But, okay.
I'm telling you.
I'm just saying.
The man himself said it. If I have to get her on the show to prove it to you, I will do that.
When I first met the boss's wife, who is the boss?
Right.
When you say the boss's wife, it's the wife who's the boss.
Yes,
I'm sorry, Norm, Mike, also.
I'm just saying.
I concede.
They know.
I concede. It's Cherie.
It's Sherry.
I said years ago, hi, I'm Todd. I'm Cherie.
Sherry. I asked him 2 days ago, I said,
I'm calling the family on the phone after the show.
I will prove it to you.
We have a huge show, though. We have a lot to get to.
Awesome.
And I have some things I want to talk about. We're going to bring Sandy and Chris on in the upcoming segments. We opened up with Youth Gone Wild.
Skid Row.
Skid Row, baby. We're going to talk about Gaylord, Michigan.
Yeah, all the stuff going on in Gaylord. Man, crazy.
Medical marijuana dispensary raids last week.
Uh-huh.
Sane, Michigan State Police raided the dispensary. Now, I don't know the facts of the case. I'm not taking a position. So I'm going to refrain because, look, I could sit here all day as I do every week and advocate. And, you know, I'm tired of, I want to end federal prohibition. But I don't know the case. I do specialize, and this is not a solicitation, in defending the, you know, Medical Marijuana Act and other types of drug cases I have for 23 years. But I don't know the facts of this case.
Well, I know part of it, from what I've seen on the news, a couple of the dispensary owners were concerned because not only did they raid the dispensaries, but they also, some of these dispensary owners have just stores that they sell holistic medicine, and all of those were raided as well, the whole thing. There were five dispensaries in Gaylord.
Forfeiture laws. It's sad, but you know, things are changing.
Mm-hmm.
The laws are changing, and that's what Sandy's going to be talking about that during the whole show. But first, look, I want to completely deviate for a moment here.
Okay. You're allowed.
I'm going to deviate. Thank you.
You do this.
Absolutely.
Love a law show.
I have a fraternity brother.
Okay.
And this past week, he gave a gift that keeps on giving.
Okay.
And here it is.
Wait a minute. Do I want to know what this is?
You do.
Are you sure?
Because I'm on Facebook with my fraternity brothers.
Right.
And a few other individuals.
Piz Dog.
And to me, Facebook is like, nobody cares. How often during the day do you tell somebody something? And do you really think that person cares? Nobody cares about where you went on vacation. The clerk behind the gas station doesn't care what you just did a half hour before you got to the gas station. But people are polite and they listen because that's their job. But folks, think about it. How often during the day do you tell somebody something? And do you think they really care? Or how often did you tell somebody something and they just do not care? It happens all day long, every day.
Is it possible it's happening right now on this show?
It is possible.
I'm just saying.
Nobody's just listening to the show. Nobody cares what I'm saying, but it's a face. How often during the day do you have a Facebook moment? But I have a fraternity brother.
Okay.
His name is Brian Allen. Brian's about my age, 52. He went to Flint Powers. I love Brian. We call him Birdie.
Okay.
Not only were we Sig Eps at CMU back in the 80s, but we were roommates. It's one thing to be a pledge brother, to join an organization and to go through all that crap, but then you live together.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So Birdie, recently, over the last couple, and Birdie's a very professional guy, very conservative, great family man, great father. I'm building up here.
You're doing a fine job.
He's that guy.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, very conservative.
All right.
Very respectful.
Straight-laced
as they come, Mr. Brian Allen.
Follows the law of the land.
Last week,
okay,
he posted a picture online of a flower. And the posting said, can anyone tell me what, and a beautiful purple foo-foo fluffy type of flower. And he posted it because his wife, who he's been married to for a couple of years now, apparently wanted to know what type of flower it was. So he puts it on Facebook and he says, does anybody know what type of flower it is? And it starts with a Z, it turns out, like a zini or I don't know, flowers.
Okay.
But for the first 20 posts, responding, most of the people responding are individuals who know Brian Allen as an adult. They never knew him as a Sig Ep. They never knew him back in the day. Now, as soon as us fraternity brothers checked our Facebook page and saw that Birdie was asking what type of flower this is, we unloaded, okay? We've been unloading now for 4 days straight on this guy.
Okay.
But you got to imagine all these people he works with in his professional life, you know, his wife's family. You know, these are all people like giving him names of this flower and telling him where to look it up online and all these books. And then comes the fraternity brothers who really know what he's really like.
That's exactly
and
where I'm.
Boy, did we unleash. I mean, my posts were extreme and I lived with them. But you just got to, it's just cracking me up to this moment talking about it because, I mean, all you guys out there, you know, can you just imagine your friend, you know, all prim and proper, putting a picture of a flower and asking, what is this legitimately? And then you just unleash on him. And then I'm just imagining that even his priest is wondering, who is this guy? Like, who are these guys? Like, what is, like, do you follow my story here?
Totally.
It's cracking me up.
I want to see this flower. That's what I want to see.
It is the funniest.
See what the flower looks like.
But you just can imagine the first. And then after us fraternity brothers got at him about this flower, there was no other post from other people.
No,
everybody just went. It all went silent. But you got to imagine. I mean, if you're on Facebook and you're going to do something like that and you were in a fraternity or your friends that you hung out with when you were younger are part of that community, They're gonna let you have it.
See, he's tried to move on from that life.
That's who he really is.
I understand.
He's not this prim and proper guy. He's a Sig Ep from Central Michigan University.
You were doing such a great job of building him up in the beginning. Now you're letting everybody know the real story.
No, he's a great guy. He's a great guy. But, I mean, come on. The gift that keeps on giving, a picture of a flower? Chris will be on later. He feels me. I mean, come on. Really?
It was not what I thought you were going to say, the gift that keeps on giving. I thought you were going to say something else.
Well, it keeps
on. I thought it was going to be this new globe in the studio. This is a new piece of furniture I just noticed.
That is not that globe. You have been sitting in front of it for the past year.
No, I haven't.
No. Here's the problem, Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle, right here on the Todd Levitt Law Show. I turned the globe, so now you're looking at the North Atlantic Ocean. Before it was the Pacific, and it looked different. I completely threw
I'm
you
serious.
Off.
Serious? I've never seen that globe before
Craig.
In my life.
Okay, I'm going to go over to the globe, and we are a law show. And we got a lot of law to get to, by the way. Look, it looked, now doesn't this look more familiar to as I turn it towards the Pacific?
Not at all.
Craig, that globe has not, I've not moved that globe in over a year. Look. Okay, don't look at the globe, look at me.
Okay.
Now, in your peripheral vision, do you notice the Pacific there? Doesn't that look more familiar to you?
Oh, maybe it does.
I don't know. Maybe it
does. I don't know. I'm not buying, man. I'm not sure. But
hey, we have a huge show.
Yes.
Huge show. Sandy Waldo's coming on, and she's going to be, she's a good friend.
Okay.
Known her for a long time. Chris Gerhart, her other half, not her better half. He's here. It's the other way around. And she has a lot to talk about. She's going to be talking about the medicinal aspects of cannabinoids.
Okay.
We always talk about hemp and THC, but this is a woman who has so much knowledge. She's going to educate and then some here after the break. But before we go to break,
yep,
and hear a word from our sponsors, last week I want to give a big shout out to Dusty.
Dusty?
At the Clare County Prosecutor's Office.
Okay.
Okay. Because Dusty, there was a cat on the roof of the courthouse last week there. A cute little cat. And the cat was rescued, and Dusty was there, and she's a great lady. TJ, that's his mom. TJ is a great guy. Love the family.
Okay.
She wanted the cat for the prosecutor's office, sort of like an
office cat.
Yeah, an office cat. But I think somebody in the courthouse ruined it, because I think somebody wanted like a courthouse dog, like a St. Bernard. And I mean, how do you compare a St. Bernard running around the courthouse like a health dog to a cute little kitten?
Cats take care of themselves.
They're chillaxed.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, once in a while they'll scratch, play a little ball. They're not even going to, but a St. Bernard. So I think somebody who wanted the St. Bernard in the courthouse ruined it for Dusty and the ladies at the prosecutor's office. Michelle Ambrositis does a great job, by the way. Tom Evans, everybody over there. They did not get the cat in the end.
I am going to ask you a favor. Can you find out about this cat? I have a mouse in my office at the radio station, and I have not been able to get rid of it, and I need a cat.
No, I have a friend who has a pet snake.
Ooh.
Forget the cat. Let the snake loose. There will no longer be a mouse. And but hold on a second.
I don't want a snake running loose in the office.
First off, Craig, mice are so cute. Did you ever see Bugs Bunny? What was it? Yeah. Tom and Jerry?
Yeah.
How do you want to just let the mouse live?
It's a cartoon.
Just let the mouse live.
All I know is I put a mouse trap out with a piece of cheese on it. I came in the next morning. Cheese was gone. Mouse hadn't been caught.
Hey, all I can say is one thing.
What's that?
The flower that keeps on giving, baby. Hey, I'm attorney Todd Levitt. We come back from break. We're going to be talking to Sandy and Chris. We have a lot to get to. Craig Russell right here. We'll be right back.
Another misfit kid, another burnout.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in for the first time, thank you for tuning in. If you missed any portion of this show, catch us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, Craig, FM radio. We're on five different platforms podcasting the show for free. And I am a criminal defense attorney. People always ask me, do you just do radio? No, I practice law. One of my specialties is drinking and driving cases. I've been specializing in anything and everything that relates to operating a motor vehicle, drinking and driving for over 23 years, Craig. I do practice through the Grand Traverse area, Petoskey, Sheboygan, Indian River, all the way to St. Ignace, all the way to the Sioux. I do take cases all through the north and central Michigan in regards to anything and everything, drinking and driving, misdemeanors, and felonies.
Middle of the mitten to the tip of the mitt.
And up to Lake, the state of Superior.
Yes, that's right. You're doing the UP too.
But let's bring aboard our guest. We have a terrific guest in the studio today, Sandy Walder, who's a friend of mine. And I want to welcome her to the show. And she is so knowledgeable. So sit back, hold on tight, don't let go. It's time for Craig Russell and the rest of the show. Sandy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Todd.
So Todd has built you up is that you know all of this stuff about the medicinal value of cannabis and everything. Explain a little bit of the knowledge that you have of medicinal of cannabis, what it can help with, who it can help.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Where to start? It can help anybody, including animals, because of the CBD is what kills our pain. People that suffer from chronic pain, for example.
Okay.
The THC treats cancer patients. And, you know, what bothers me is that medical, you know, marijuana. And from this point, I'm just going to, I might call it pot. I might call it weed. I might call it marijuana. That it's still a Schedule I drug. And what bothers me about this is my knowledge and my experience with medical marijuana is that it does not meet the legal definition of a Schedule I drug. That being, it has to be highly addictive. It cannot, have any medical benefits for anybody, and that it's harmful to the point of being lethal. Cannabis does not fit that criteria. So when you look at alcohol and tobacco, Craig, it meets all those requirements. However, are they Schedule I?
No, they're not.
So what's going on here?
It's hypocrisy is what's going on.
Exactly.
I mean, obviously, there's over 20 states that have already legalized medicinal marijuana. So, I mean, we're not talking about something that is completely foreign. The whole Canada, it's going to probably be recreational use within the next year or two. Justin Trudeau, that was one of his platforms, was based on the fact that they will end up making it recreational.
Exactly.
Todd believes by 2018 it's going to be recreational in Michigan. But the medicinal aspects of it, I didn't realize pets can use.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, me and my fiance were just watching a video. There was a dog that was having epileptic seizures.
Okay.
And he was visibly shaking, and his owner gave him some cannabis oil. And as soon as he put that oil in his mouth, the dog stopped seizing.
Wow.
So it can be used to treat animals as well as humans.
And I didn't realize it worked that quickly. Now, is it quicker because of an animal, a smaller animal than it is with humans?
No,
or does it do that as well?
It works just as quickly on humans.
And what are some of the things that humans, pain-wise, even disease-wise, what can that help with?
Oh, my goodness. Cancer, Crohn's disease, Parkinson's, ADHD, you name it. Alzheimer's, lung cancer, brain cancer.
Now, we talk about this each week, Sandy, how there's different cannabinoids in the plant itself. You have CBDs, then you have the more cannabinoid that has that more active THC. So can you talk a little bit about the difference between the two? So the CBDs have less than 1% THC in them, if any at all, where the more active THC. What benefits, by the way, do you see are derived from the more active THC?
Well, the THC, like I said earlier to Craig, the CBD is what treats the pain. The THC is what treats the disease itself. So really what you want to have is a higher level of both, or a one-to-one ratio. And again, it depends on the disease. So different strains treat different diseases. So it's not an easy answer. I don't have an easy answer for you.
It's kind of like the whole issue itself is there's not an easy answer to the whole issue, because there's some people who are very against it, some people who are very for it.
Exactly.
And all the legalities and everything like that. It's a complicated issue, but also it's complicated how it can help people.
exactly. Like, for example, Craig, we have cannabis oil, we have cannabis tincture, we have cannabis salve for arthritis. Now, the oil is used for specific diseases like cancer or maybe colon cancer, things of that nature.
Okay.
Whereas COPD and other Parkinson's, you're going to use the tincture. So you have to become knowledgeable about what strains you're using, what the level of the CBD and the THC is. You have to get it tested. It gets pretty scientific.
And how did you learn about all this?
A lot of research and speaking to people from all over the country that have already treated people, including themselves, that have a little bit more knowledge. So I'm learning from them.
Right.
And my fiance, he's the one that's the scientist of the family, if you will. You know, he can explain the cannabinoid system and how that all works.
That's a great segue right there, Sandy. So let's bring Chris Gearhart on the show, who's a good friend of mine. Chris, welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show with my handsome and talented co-host, producer, good friend, Craig Russell. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Todd. With the medicinal use of medical marijuana, there's CB1 and CB2 receptors in the brain. We all have them. We all have a cannabinoid system. A lot of animals have the same system. But what has to happen is it has to be activated.
Okay.
Because our body doesn't produce enough. And I believe back in the ancient days, when it was used in Egypt and Greece and different areas in Chinese, they activated those systems.
Okay.
We've gotten away from that. And you have to activate them with different strains. There has to, like Sandy said, that there's different strains with different levels for different treatments. So activating a CB1 in your brain, the receptor, is the physical properties of the body.
Okay.
And the CB2 is the neurological system of your body. And what happens is the molecules attach to the cells in the body, and it recognizes that the immune system says, hey, wait a minute, something's going, this isn't a normal cell. And it allows it to attack that cell. Well, what happens is it's natural to our system, so it leaves the normal cells alone. And that's how it shrinks tumors, and even leukemia has been cured. So, I mean, it's pretty interesting.
I'm going to make a really weird comparison, but this almost sounds like when they have like weed killer that says it'll kill the weeds but not your grass. It's the same kind of thing.
It helps
the bad cells, but it keeps the healthy cells
healthy.
I was going to say, unlike chemotherapy, by the way, which kills, destroys everything, and that's why cancer usually comes back when a person has chemotherapy, not so with cannabis.
Now, let me just state for the record here, because we are a law show, and the opinions and comments of the guests of this show and of my show, Todd Levitt, the law show, are not that of the sponsors, the owners of the radio station, or anyone else. These are just the opinions of our guest here today. And before you rely on anything you hear on this show, I have to say it, please consult with your physician.
Yeah, exactly.
These are two individuals who are legal at what they do. They're not doing anything illegal. They have a lot of experience in treating one another, friends within the law, but their experience is unique, and please do not rely upon anything they're saying. I mean, take it as an educational conversation and gain some knowledge from it. But make sure before you do or try anything that you know what you're doing. Is that fair to say, Chris?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't. Anybody has any ailments or anything. Absolutely. Medically done with a doctor. Absolutely. Or research. Absolutely research. Second opinions. I believe in that too. The cancer in its own self, if you don't research that, there people are being snowed by this just chemotherapy thing, you know, and they're not looking at any other different areas, you know, and there's so many different things you can do, you know, like diet, you know, smoothies. There's different things that can be done along with medical cannabis and even treatments. of the cancer through the medical system.
But like Todd was saying, everybody's situation is different. Everybody is different. This is great general knowledge to take, but this is a good starting point for a conversation with your physician to say, hey, absolutely, is this something we can explore? Because obviously whatever's happening in my body and whatever we're treating with, maybe it isn't working. Maybe it's not working well enough. Maybe it's not working quick enough. Is it possible we could start a conversation about something else, say medicinal marijuana or the cannabinoids and stuff, and see if that is the right way to go, depending on your own case, your own situation?
You know, you have to imagine that the pharmaceutical companies and the government, everyone is salivating right now, especially the pharmaceutical companies, you know, and they have so much money and so much clout and influence that they're getting ready to pounce on this industry. And that's just unfair because, you know, it's been the men and women on the front lines at the grassroots who have fought the good fight over all these decades. I mean, Normal, my buddy Matt Abel downstate, he's been part of Normal on the executive board for years. The Hash Bash in Ann Arbor and all the people out there. So, you know, here's all these individuals that have been fighting the good fight, Craig, such as the two that are on the show today. And then along comes, you know, big corporations with big money. It's just not fair.
Well, what I hope happens in all of this is something that we see, and I sometimes will make comparisons. The craft beer industry in Michigan has become a very big selling point for the state of Michigan. But yet, not only do all the small breweries that brew craft beer in local communities and stuff, you can still buy that, or you can go buy a big beer by a big company, Budweiser. Everybody's being able to coexist peacefully and do what they need to do in that situation. Because I completely agree. I think the minute in this country when marijuana becomes much more, I don't know if the stigma goes away, or it becomes legal, there's going to be big companies that are going to try and take a big advantage of it. And I still think the little guy can survive along with the big companies. I think that I truly believe that.
Absolutely. Hey, by the way, Craig, I have to deviate for a moment here.
Okay.
I never do that. We're going to get back to these topics, but I had somebody remind me here as the show is taking place about a story that took place in Petoskey last week.
Okay.
It was in 9 and 10 News. A man was arrested after troopers said he ran around naked chasing seagulls at Petoskey State Park Beach. The man was from Metro Detroit, and he was charged with indecent exposure, resisting and obstructing a police officer. One, you should never run around naked to begin with.
For starters,
indecent exposure. Two, and if you are running around naked, don't be chasing seagulls. One, you're never going to catch them. And let the little critters eat the garbage off the beach, which you shouldn't be putting there in the first place. And three, if you are being placed under arrest, cooperate. So this guy was naked, chasing seagulls, and resisting and obstructing a police officer in the beautiful town of Petoskey. My great aunt used to own the Petoskey Playhouse way back in the 40s and the 50s. So I got a lot of connections in Petoskey. And my grandparents owned a motel back in Charlevoix back in the day. And 95.5 Rock 105 reach all those areas.
Of course they do. Now, would you take that guy's case if he called you up and said, hey, Todd, I love it, will you take my case?
Well, this is not a solicitation, but okay. I'll just say I do those type of cases.
I know you do. That's why I'd ask him.
Just like that dispensary that got raided, you know, people were asking me, are you representing? Because when there's stuff in the paper, you know, in the news that happens in mid and northern Michigan, there's, you know, a lot of us attorneys do get phone calls.
Sure.
So people will say, hey, would you take that case? Well, I never use the show to solicit. I would only say I do those cases.
Okay.
That's my answer across the board.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Oh, it works out. Speaking of cases and this show, we got to take a break, but we'll come back and we'll talk with Chris and Sandy and with you on the Todd I Love It Law Show.
During break, I need to ask you about a picture of a flower. I need to know if you know what it is. I think it's a dandelion. We'll be right back.
Another bird out.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Joined in studio by my good friend Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle 5 days a week, including Saturday.
Which makes it 6 days.
Makes it 6 days a week. You are on fire, by the way.
No, stop.
No, I tune into you every day.
Now, right now, this week we're alone on Rock 105 and 95.5. So you normally hear Cartman in the morning, but I'm on 98.5 during the mornings, and I'm not on fire. I'm just warm.
No, you are
lukewarm.
Always on fire.
Lukewarm.
Hey, we're joined in studio, by the way, by two good friends of mine, Chris Gearhart, like a heart, Gearhart, and his other better half, I would say, Sandy Waldo. Waldo.
Where's Waldo?
Where's Waldo?
Yeah.
Hey, big shout out, by the way, to my cousin Anthony Z, AZ baby, and Pizdog.
Oh, Pizdog.
And Deanna.
And
Deanna Kibbe Virgin.
Yeah.
And Rick up there in Ogama County. Great people. Love the family up there. Love those folks. Rick, Deanna, everybody up there. Great folks. Sandy, what say you?
Well, I wanted to, get back to what you were talking about, you know, the big corporate people and how that enters into this medical cannabis or recreational cannabis, you know, scenario that's playing on in this country. And I want to specifically mention some people don't know about this, Todd. They don't know that the United States holds a patent on cannabis. I know you know that. Craig, do you know?
I did not know that.
Absolutely. And it's specifically patent number 6630507 for those of you that might be interested. And the interesting thing about this patent is that it covers the potential use of non-psychoactive cannabinoids, which is what's so important here. It's the chemical compounds found within the plant, like the sativa and the indica strains, which protect the brain from damage of degeneration. And we see a lot of that going on here. A lot of people seem to be losing their, you know, their brain activities, you know, their memory loss, whatever, you know, things like that.
Right.
You know, they're losing their cognitive abilities, you know, and cirrhosis, same thing. So anyway, back to this patent, a lot of people that are familiar that this patent exists, a lot of people aren't familiar with the fact that it was granted to the United States Department of Health, and it shows that there's, you know, you talked about hypocrisy earlier, Craig, and it shows the amount of hypocrisy that there is no accepted medical use. That's what's key here. You know, they keep trying to convince people there's no medical use with cannabis, which is absolutely untrue. You know, we have medical research has come forth, scientific data has come forth, testimony after testimony, you know, doctors going, hey, your tumors are gone. I can't explain it. Little do they know it's because that patient was using medical cannabis, you know. And that's within the federal laws definition, you know. So you have the same government that, you know, owns a patent for medical use of marijuana, yet prohibits its use by the citizens. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. Now, here's my question, and I'm not a lawyer. I do know one, though. He's sitting right there. So maybe he might have to jump in on this. And I don't know, patent law, I don't think is his strong point, but I know he knows enough about the law. What would they defend this patent for? Are they going to, at some point, someday, say, we're the only people that can produce marijuana, no one else can because of the patent?
I think that's a strong possibility. And the reason I mention the patent is because what people are, I think a lot of people are unaware of, Craig, is that there are payments, milestone payments, if you will, that are sitting there waiting, which relates back to what Todd said earlier about big corporates, okay? Mm-hmm. So they're going to get a percentage of sales as well as royalties, much like the music industry, in the six figures, you know, to the government. So people are so, and I'm one of them, hyped up about the legality of, you know, medical marijuana or recreational marijuana. But there's an ulterior motive with our government, like it or not, you know.
Well, we've talked about that in the show before, that we think the government is going to take well advantage, especially like the Michigan government, when it goes recreation, they're going to take advantage of being able to tax it. But now, not on top of tax, they also will try and collect on, or at least the federal government could try and collect on defending the patent as well. Todd?
Here's the issue.
Okay.
The federal government, we said it till we're exhausted, classify hemp, cannabis as a Schedule I drug together with heroin and all these other horribly destructive drugs that kill people.
Correct.
As opposed to what we're talking about that heal people. It doesn't kill, it heals. As an individual,
okay,
if I have an idea for something related to the business of cannabis right now, I cannot file for a patent or a trademark because it's illegal under the federal government.
All right.
So for if what Sandy says is true, and I can't confirm it, but I trust Sandy. I mean, I consider her very credible and reputable. But if what she says is true, where the federal government is trying to obtain patents on certain products in relation to cannabinoids, think about the hypocrisy. So the citizens can't apply for a patent or a trademark because the federal government, that's federal law. Patent law, trademark law, federal. Feds considered illegal. Therefore, you can't protect your invention. You cannot protect your concept, your idea, your baby. But if what she says is true, it's so it's full of hypocrisy because the federal government shouldn't be allowed to get a patent on something that the people can't get a patent on. That's my point. Now, I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody right now because I just drank a lot of cappuccino with two cups of coffee, and I am just flying high right now. I'm thinking about a mouse running around your office and me getting a snake. I'm thinking about flowers that my friend Brian Allen posted on Facebook. I mean, I'm fired up and ready to turn it, burn it, churn it. I'm ready to go like Top Gun in 1984 with Tom Cruise on a motorcycle riding into the sunset,
Way to pull the show back to center there, Todd.
That's all I'm trying to say, baby.
Way to do it.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Now, here's another question about the patent. Now, what you brought up, Todd, is a really good point. If the federal government considers marijuana to be a Schedule I drug, and same with heroin and cocaine and these other drugs, they don't own patents on those drugs, but they own patents on marijuana, which has got to tell you something. It's got to tell you that eventually, when they figure out enough a way to make the most amount of money for it, then that's where the legality will come in.
I have a few doctor friends.
Okay.
Listen, we've all known someone in our families who have passed on from cancer.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother, I can go on and on throughout my family. And I do believe in modern medicine.
Sure.
I want to go on the record and say that I do believe in, I have some really good doctors and hospitals all throughout mid-Michigan, all over the state and the country. Okay. But what I'm here to say is one of my close doctor friends said to me about a month ago, do you really think that the government wants cancer cured? And here's what he said. He said, do you realize how much money goes into research? How many jobs would be lost? The devastation in the grants, the universities, the doctors, the staff, the pharmaceutical companies. If they really truly cured cancer, it would devastate the economy because there's so much that goes into cancer research and treatment together with all the people who support it. Now, that made me think about it. That can apply to a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really interesting. Now, look, again, I want it cured. My grandmother died of breast cancer. I give to charity, you know, cancer research. So I'm not saying right here and there that if there was a cure, it wouldn't come forward. I'm just repeating what someone else told me. But it made me think for a moment.
I'm not going to trivialize curing cancer by any stretch of imagination, but back in the day, they cured polio, and that didn't put any doctors out of business, and that didn't put any pharmaceutical companies out of business. They would still survive. I think there's plenty of other things out there that they need to treat.
Want cancer cured. I'm not saying I agree with what he said.
Right.
I'm just saying this is a doctor told me this because he's a specialist, and it made me think for a minute. But I mean, I would love to have my grandmother back.
Well, I think it's important to realize that. Here's a novel thought, Todd. What if cannabis is made absolutely across the board, completely legal, and anyone can sell it to anyone who's ill, and everybody can share the wealth instead of these, you know, corporate, you know, big pharmaceutical companies having a monopoly on everything, and they're not even curing anything. It's just a Band-Aid. You know that. I know that, right?
I am thankful for Lipitor. I just want to say that.
Lipitor. Okay.
Now,
cool.
And now here's another thing, and this is another topic to bring up with the whole between the big corporations and stuff. I truly believe another corporation that's going to end up reaping the benefits of legalized marijuana in this country are tobacco companies. I think for a second, Philip Morris, R.J. Reynolds, all the companies that right now produce actual tobacco cigarettes are going to get into the marijuana business.
Absolutely.
They might even do better than the pharmaceutical companies.
You mean you haven't seen the marijuana cigarette pack yet? And
I don't think it won't happen. I think it would.
Absolutely.
I think it would in a second. And that means, and I bet you, because those companies will have big agreements with the government to be able to pay off their patents.
You know, Speaking of cigarette companies, I don't smoke.
I never
have smoked. I've tried it when I was a kid. You know, I didn't like it one time. But when you mentioned cigarettes, I looked at you, Craig, and thought of one thing.
What's that?
If Craig Russell was to smoke, I think you would be a Virginia Slim kind of smoker. I'm just saying.
Hey, we've come a long way, baby. That's all I'm saying.
You are total Virginia Slim, but every time someone would ask me to go get them cigarettes, it was always Marlboro Light 100s in a box. I don't know what that means, but Virginia Slim, Craig, I don't know. I just see you with this real thin cigarette with that huge smile on your face right now, chasing a mouse in your office, you know, figuring out what the heck's going on here on the Todd Levitt Law Show. Too much caffeine this morning.
I was going to say.
I'm just saying. I am ready to go. I was celebrating last night at the canoe race, the launch of the canoe race. That was a great VIP tent.
Oh, yeah.
98.5 UPS put on. Cherie organized that whole thing.
You're never going to get over it, are you? Hey, it's Sherry.
We have to go to break. We have one more segment. We're going to spin it. We have one more segment. We're going to finish strong right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show in studio with Chris Gearhart and Sandy Waldo. Chris, what was that song you mentioned earlier that you love?
Pictures of Matchstick Men.
Listen, this studio is drug-free right now. Legal or otherwise. It is. All we have is Walter White bobblehead here. We got to go to break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting once again, Craig, from the mothership here, the Black Diamond Group mothership in a beautiful, nutrient green field, very appropriate for our guest this morning in studio.
Pure Michigan.
Pure Michigan, born in the D. You're born in the K, K-Zoo.
That's right.
I was born and raised in the D, 7 Mile near Edgewater Park.
Then I was moved born in Portage.
Portage. Where'd you go to high school?
Portage Central High School.
Berkeley High, class 83, baby. Berkeley Bears.
I wasn't even in high school in 1983.
What year were you born?
1969.
You like gladiators?
No. No.
What movie reference was that?
I don't know.
Airplane.
Oh.
Come on.
Son,
do you like gladiators? Remember in the pilot
really,
seat?
I've seen a grown man naked. Now, if you had done that, I would have known that, but I don't remember the gladiators.
Yeah. How do you like my facial hair?
Yeah, you got this goatee and kind of a little rough thing going on there. It kind of gives you a little bit of an edge, Todd. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
A little less hair product, a little more goatee, a little more stubble there.
Well, I never grew a beard or goatee because I figured I had a lot of hair on my head, and all my friends were bald. They all have facial hair. Is that to compensate for the baldness?
Possibly.
So now I got hair on my head because I have a lot of hair, and I got hair on my face. I mean, I've got hair all over the place.
Keep the hair on your head. I saw a study earlier this week that women find men with hair on their heads much more attractive than men who are bald.
Okay, I have some buddies of mine.
Just saying.
I have some buddies of mine. I'm not going to say their names. Brian Chamberlain. I'm just saying. Dr. Brian Chamberlain.
You're not going to say any names.
He's a handsome guy. I got a lot of good buddies of mine. I'm masculine enough. I am comfortable enough as a man to say that some of my buddies are very handsome guys.
Good.
That's comfortable to who you are.
Yeah.
Because the way we grew up, we would hug each other. Hey, how you doing? Come here. How you doing? You know?
I didn't know you were Italian.
Yeah, 100% Sicilian. No, 3% Irish, 97% Sicilian, 3% Irish. Someone just took a day trip to Ireland.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, I did that DNA test.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The Ancestry.com one?
Yeah.
Thing? Really?
Came back smack dab on the top of Sicily and Spain, that region right there.
Really?
And then 3% Irish.
Huh.
No, really.
Like one day they went to Ireland and that's how you got into that.
I don't really want to try to even guess what had happened.
I don't either.
But I think my great, 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 great grandfather during the time of Game of Thrones and The Hobbit.
11 greats.
Just took a trek to Ireland.
During
the time of Braveheart.
A couple of glasses of Guinness, next thing you know.
And something happened. Anyway, let's get back to the show.
Yeah.
Sandy, what?
I just want to mention that I know who dispersed themselves as a tribe in Italy, and that would be the tribe of Dan. Ooh, you know, the serpent tribe.
Hey now.
Yeah. Can I ask permission? Can we talk about the veterans just for a quick second?
Do it.
Okay. I think that most veterans are not aware that there's a VA directive that allows veterans the use of medical cannabis where it's legal, of course. Always where it's legal.
Right.
Okay. That stands, you know, without, you know, justification. But and I think that it's horrible to see so many veterans suffering from PTSD, from cancer, mm-hmm. from going back to the Korean War still, the mm-hmm. ones that are still alive, you know, and they are denied this alternative way to treat themselves and possibly cure themselves. But yet it's okay to get them addicted to opiates. And veterans are very misinformed. That's the point I want to make. I want to talk about that for a minute, Todd. They're misinformed because of hearsay. They believe that they're going to lose their VA benefits if they use medical cannabis. Now, here's the thing. Up until recently, VA doctors were not even allowed to discuss medical cannabis or the possibility of using it with their patients. Okay, but that's changed because of this directive. Again, vets are unaware of this, and I think that this is important. And I do want to say, as Todd would say, a big shout out to all our veterans and thank you for your service.
Yes.
You know, a big heartfelt thank you. So we're hearing all these compelling stories about these veterans, how cannabis has helped them. They're doing it on the sly because they're forced to. My question, Todd, is how can we give a 20-year-old who's not served this country in any way, shape, or form yet because simply of their age and lack of experience, how can we give them permission to use medical cannabis or recreational cannabis and yet deny our veterans the same option?
You mentioned a directive. The VA has put forth information regarding vets who appear for treatment at their local VA hospital. The VA can no longer turn them away if they are a cardholder and that's in the state in which they reside. So if you're in Michigan, you're a cardholder, you go to the VA, you cannot be turned away treatment because you're a cardholder.
Correct. That's my understanding as well. So thank you for that verification. My thing is that, you know, I've realized that it all has to kind of catch up to itself because this is recent. This directive isn't that old. But what I want to address, and I want to thank you for the opportunity, Todd, is that, you know, the veterans need correct information. You will not lose your benefits if you opt to choose, you know, to use medical cannabis and you're a legal cardholder. Always within the realm of the law, right, Todd? Always. So I think, you know, you need to understand that there's nothing stopping you from going, I'm speaking to the vets now, nothing stopping you from going to a medical cannabis doctor, getting your card so that you can legally use the marijuana, the medical marijuana. Okay. And then depending on what type of VA doctor you have, he can now discuss it with you without getting in trouble. You know, so don't let that stop you. Don't let that scare you. You know, there's always a way around, you know, Big Brother, if you will, or our government. You know, they want to bring that hammer down on anybody, and they're not fair across the board. It's not an equal playing ground.
Well, my question is, the VA, Veterans Administration, that is part of our government, is it not?
Yes, absolutely. It's a federal agency.
Right.
Yes.
So the government, if the VA says they can have it, that's not the government stopping them. Who would stop them? If you are a vet and you want to get medicinal marijuana to take care of either pain or anything, who is going to stop you?
At this point, nobody can, but our vets think that they're going to lose their benefits.
Okay.
Their opiates are going to be taken away from them. Their financial benefits are going to be taken away, and that's simply not true. They've been fed a pack of lies, if you will.
So they need to actually go to their VA doctor or a VA hospital in their area, especially if we're talking about Michigan. Of course, you can hear this show all over the country on podcasting and everything, but we're talking about Michigan. Go to your VA hospital, go to your VA doctor, and find out. Ask the questions.
Absolutely. And most vets, they know where their doctor stands on this issue. What they need to do is go get your card, okay? Take your, you know, your medical report with you which shows your diagnosis. Go get your, apply for your medical card with the state, get the card, and then deal with your doctor. So see, what this directive does, it now allows the VA doctors to, at minimum, discuss the alternative use of medical marijuana for treatment, because a lot of these vets, you know, we've lost a lot of our vets due to just suicide because they became addicted, you know, they weren't being treated properly.
Or PTSD or any of these other
exactly.
Just terrible.
So it's at minimum going to open up the lines of communication between the VA doctor and the veteran. And then they can go from there. Like I said earlier, this directive and everything that it entails, it all has to catch up to itself.
And on top of it, this also, for a country that is so behind our veterans and so behind our military, because there's just not that many people who are against our military and the people who defend our freedoms and our rights, we need to treat our veterans so much better. It should be, as I've seen before many times, I know Todd brought up Facebook earlier, but I'll bring up, why should a guy who carries a football make $10 million a year, yet our veterans are homeless? I mean, now we're getting off into a
speaking of veterans, though, I just want to say that our prayers go out to one of my heroes, John McCain.
That's right, yep.
What a hero that guy is. I mean, come on. Yep. He was a prisoner of war, mm-hmm. had a chance to leave, but refused to leave because he didn't want to leave his men behind. So however you feel about his politics, you have to respect the man.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And I
correct.
Respect the heck out of that guy. Craig, this has been a huge show.
Big show.
Yeah, Sandy, Chris Gerhart, Sandy Wald, who's been in studio today. I just want to thank Chris so much for being here.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks, man.
Will you be back?
Absolutely, anytime you need me.
Sandy, again, I know there's a lot of knowledge you have. And there's so much more that you could talk about. This was your first time on the show. You are absolutely invited back, the both of you. So I hope you enjoyed your time here on the show.
I did, and I want to thank you for inviting me. It's been an honor. Nice to meet you, Craig.
And nice to meet you, too. And I'm sure as we come in the coming months with possibly marijuana becoming recreational in Michigan and dispensaries and everything else, we're going to need more information from you.
Awesome. Sure. Awesome. I'd be more than happy to provide whatever I have. I want to share it.
Now, next week, we're literally going to switch gears.
Completely.
Completely.
180%.
No, 108%. I have some research that I have done.
Okay.
In areas of law that have nothing to do with cannabis. So I'm going to try my best to just talk about other areas of the law on this next show. But look, people always say to me, hey, can you have divorce lawyers on, probate, wills and trusts, which is probate, workers' compensation, personal injury. We could have all those lawyers on the show.
It is called the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
It is a law show.
Uh-huh. So any kind of law would fit.
We need Ghazi to come back on the show.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody knows Ghazi, will you tell him to give me a call? Pat Richards from Grace Solnayako, trying to get Johnny Marco on, Danny Bain, all those guys. I would love them to come on the show.
Make them rock stars.
They are rock stars.
I know.
Hey, we got to go.
Uh-huh.
Hey, congratulations to everyone at the station and all the men and women who volunteered at the in Grayling this past weekend and this afternoon.
And for the canoe race, everybody, it's all wrapping up and everything. We'll be back on 98.5 next week. Rock 105 and 95.5 all the time.
We got to go.
That's it.
It's time to turn it, burn it, churn it. It's a Todd L. Levitt Law Show. I'm not just a litigator. Craig Russell, take us out. I'm an advocate.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.